The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I'm back with, I think this is my 10th installment of my Winner's Way In series. So every week I talk to a different previous winner, you know, just to get their thoughts on Big Brother 25, also catch up and see what they're up to. I think we kind of know what this guy's been up to because he's been podcasting. But yes, I'm happy to be joined by Big Brother 22 winner, Cody Califiore. Cody, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm, you know, getting through the season of Big Brother right now. Just, you know, getting through day to day. Over 100 days in a season is a lot, I feel, for some of these contestants. It's a long time to be in that house.
Yeah, I'm ready to wrap up soon, personally.
Well, because right, this is what I was thinking about it, was usually around now, we're getting to the end of the season. It's like October, we're like, okay, there's only a couple weeks left. We're getting excited about the finale. And now I genuinely, and I don't know if you know more than me, but I don't know when the finale is. Like, when does the season end? Like, November?
I think it's exactly 4 weeks from today or tomorrow.
Okay.
It's November 9th.
Okay. Okay. So, Makes sense. But all right. We're kind of there. We're almost there.
They have to have a few double evictions coming up or something, because there's too many people in that house right now.
Right? Like, Derek and I were going over it when we were talking on the Winner's Circle. We were like, just trying to keep track of how many people are left, how many people had gone home. I was like, so much had gone on this season where it was just hard to wrap my head around. I was like, let's just move on. Like, I don't want to keep diving into this, trying to figure it out. Because we were getting it wrong. Everybody was like calling us out. So it's like,
I'm kind of like that too, of like, if you want stats and stuff, you know, go to Taryn, go to someone who like has a memory. I have the worst memory. So you can't ask me like how many comp wins did this person? Like, I have no idea. So
right.
Not really my brand either.
That Taryn is, he's something else. It's very, very impressive. It's the commitment he has to it. It's really, really awesome. He's great.
Yeah. Props to Taryn. And you mentioned the Winner's Circle. What's been going on? Like, how have you liked podcasting? I know you also recently you're getting married. How's everything going?
It's going good. You know, the podcasting is a lot of fun. We switched over to, instead of posting the episodes, we jump on live. So Derek and I are watching the episode. We're kind of reacting to the episode live. It's created more fun and more interaction. My biggest thing is I love interacting and I love talking, but I love really like interacting with people that are watching the show, people that are watching us. It seems more personal and I really, really enjoy that. So we've done that this season, which has been a lot of fun. Tiffany still is covering the live feeds when she can, when I'm available, when she's available. So a lot of stuff has been going on. And so it's been good. It's a lot of work though. I feel like people think it's like you just start a podcast and it's like all you got to do is get on and record. It's not the case. It's just really not the case, right? You know,
I'm learning the hard way.
And it's a lot. It's really tough. It's really daunting. But again, the support that we get on the Winner's Circle is what really drives us to continue doing it. If we weren't getting the support and the love from the people that are watching it and viewing us, it's easier to just be like, all right, this is a lot of work. I'm going to stop. But because of them, it really just gives me that, you know, extra incentive, especially working all day, coming home, having to go back to work in the morning, doing the podcast in the like early morning hours. It's a commitment and I wouldn't be doing it, to be 100% honest, if it wasn't for the viewers that we have. I would not be. It's just a lot.
Yeah. I was telling Derek, it is cool what you guys do. You're trying to do something different, which is the live reactions. Like I told him when you guys started doing the live finale, like interviews, that was so smart. Like,
yeah.
It's cool to offer something else because this is a crowded space. Like a lot of people cover Big Brother and get it, but like hearing from two winners and having it be a little different is cool. It's cool.
Yeah. And that's what we thought. We thought it would be really cool, really cool perspective to hear from two people that have not only been in the house, who have gone the length of the game, who have won the game. And so it brings an element. And listen, that doesn't, just because we've been in the house and we played the game and we won the game, doesn't make us these incredible people that can talk about Big Brother. We just talk about it because it's also something that we love and an experience that we've had that not a lot of people have. Like, if you think about the amount of people that have been on Big Brother, it's a small group of people. And so we're this, like, we're just two of the guys that have gone on the show, won it, that like talking about it, because it's easy to talk about something you've done, right? Like, it's like, I could talk to you all day long about soccer too, if that's something that you're interested in, because I played soccer my whole life. So it's like, it's just really fun. And I think we do bring a pretty cool perspective to it.
For sure. I do. Obviously, if you listen or watch the Winner Circle, you know Cody's takes. I'm going to ask probably questions you might know the answer to. But for the people that don't, just like an overall arcing, I guess, thought, you've covered the show for a few seasons now. How is this season like ranking for you in terms of fun, like strategy? Like, are you enjoying it? Are you kind of like, eh?
Yeah. To be 100% honest, just kind of the life of it, the start was extremely excited. When I saw Ceree, I was like, oh, phenomenal. Like, putting somebody there, because you didn't do any returners, but putting Ceree on there from a different show, has been in the reality space for a while, thought, oh, that was a good call. Having her son there, having that twist was really exciting. But to be honest, it's like, that is kind of, now that she's playing the game by herself, I'm a little more intrigued, but it's like, that was a huge advantage. And it almost like, I was like, oh, that's a massive advantage to have. I know you could say it's a disadvantage because she's from another show, but not a lot of people in there even know Survivor. They don't know her game on Survivor. So it's like, it's not like it would have hurt her game. And just giving that advantage, I was like, that kind of is handing her a lot. Kind of like how I felt when they brought Paul back.
Yeah.
And they handed Paul all these advantages. I'm like, that just tarnished the season for me, because it's like, that's a massive advantage to give one person in the house when nobody else gets that advantage. I could see why they did it. I didn't love it. Now at this point of the season, it's kind of like, for me. I'm excited to see what's going to happen because I just genuinely don't know.
Yeah.
But like, how much, like, I would say like my excitement for what's happening, I'm just like, all right, well, like, I'll put it at like a 6. It's just honest. It's just my honesty. It's just, I watch it and I'm like, well, I wonder what they're doing. But then the flip-flopping and all that stuff became more exhausting than exciting to follow. And that's when I think I just like, was like, I think it's like a 6. I had it at like a 9. And then the flip-flopping, the chaos went from, wow, I'm eager to see what's going to happen, to like, I'm just so tired of this. Like, are they just going to stick to the plan? Can anybody just be like structured in a plan to target somebody and get them out, versus like, we should get this person. Oh, no, now this person's on the block. We should go to them. But no, actually, we're going to flop back to this person just because I don't even know what the rationale is. So it's hard for me to follow, which has kind of made me like exhausted, which has kind of got me to where I'm at now. So I'll give it a 6-8. 6-8.
Yeah. I think as a fan, it's fun, but like, if you're covering the show, it is exhausting. People were like,
right. And that's what I think,
then 100
days, it tarnishes it.
It does a little bit, but you know, we'll see how it ends, because that's always like results oriented. Like, if you like the winner, sometimes you like the season. But I do want to ask about a couple players in particular. Starting with Ceree, you obviously played the traitors with her. I'm interested to know, as covering it, do you feel like you can be objective, or are you like, oh, I know how Ceree's brain works and I know this about Ceree? Like, that has to play into it a little bit, like, because you know kind of the, well, yeah, talk to me about that, I guess. I don't know the exact question,
but totally. I know, I just from playing with, because I didn't know Ceree on Survivor. I didn't watch Survivor. So even seeing her on Traitors, I was like, oh, I know people know you're Ceree, but I was like, I don't really know anything about her. So just watching Big Brother, after playing the game of Traitors with her, which is, that game is like perfect for Ceree, especially as a traitor. If Ceree was a faithful, it would have been like, Ceree would get to the end of any game she plays. And I say that because Ceree is so like easy to talk to. Yeah. And when you talk to her, there's just no wall, and she's very organic. She is who she is. So when she plays these games, she just has to be herself, and socially is going to always do well. That's all that Ceree has to do when she steps into these games. And Traitors was like a game where I was like, it was perfect for her, because she didn't have to say anything. She just had to do something in secret and then keep a poker face on, which Ceree is good at doing that until you piss her off. And if you piss her off, she doesn't know how to have a poker face. She can't like smile in your face. Like, if you annoy her, I feel like you'll know you annoy her. Like, when you're around her, you could feel a different vibe coming from her. And so on Big Brother, I think that's what kind of got to her, is it became like the, her poker face, because it was such a long game. It's a longer game than she's used to. It was a longer game than Traders. And when there's longevity, it's like the consistency of keeping it up is very difficult. And I think that kind of waned on Suri in Survivor, which is why you saw everybody that was close to her get cannibalized, and she's the only one that's left. It's like, because everybody wanted to weaken Suri. They didn't want to target her, which was another thing that blew my mind for the rationale of these, the house guests. I was like, you know, Suri's ahead of the stake. You know that she's the mastermind. You know that she's the one that's making the decisions. Target all the people beneath her, leave her in the game. I was like, you target the head of the snake, and then you pull the people beneath her into your side, because they're going to be looking for somebody to trust. I'm like, that's what you do. Like, what they're doing with Suri is, I'm like, you're just allowing her to now put her tentacles into more people. And you're giving her, like, you didn't cut the head off. You cut like an arm off that's going to grow back. It's like, I'm like, that you, the rationale with it, which I don't know what their rationale is. I know what Suri's is now. She's like, I'm just going to big chill until I'm going to be the wounded animal. Because what I don't think they don't understand about her is she totally is brilliant at reading the room, playing her social game. The only knock I would have on Suri from watching on Big Brother now is like their strategic game is too all over the place. And I don't know what's drawing that. I don't know if it's emotional. I don't know if it's paranoia, which gets us all in that house. I don't know what it is, but the all over the place decision-making that she did was like, it doesn't seem strategic. And I don't know what that side of it is.
Yeah. This whole cast kind of is like all over the place with.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's because Izzy was all over the place and she really trusted Izzy. So it was causing her to be kind of all over the place. Felicia is all over the place. And that was one of her closest allies early on. Now, I don't know. But early on, it was like, I almost felt like Suri was allowing people to like wave or like sway her in directions that kind of just made it sloppy. So that's the only knock I'll say. Other than that, she's right back in the game now. And again, it's another game where I don't see Suri going home other than final three, final four. If anybody wakes up and is like, you can't let her sit there.
The only person that will do that is Corey, I think. Maybe.
Yeah. I think America would. I think I thought we would have, but
we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Also, you're at this end, you're at the end game and you're like, well, she can't win comps. Do we just leave her? Like, it's one of those, it's too far gone. That's why. Now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think the house is looking at. It's like, it's, they're looking at Suri like, okay, she no longer has her influence because we just cut all of her closest allies out and she can't win comps. So is she a threat to us? What they don't realize is like, just because she can't win comps, that's not Suri's game. She's not like, I'm going to win and run through competition. She's like, just give me a little bit of time to gain trust and then people will listen to everything I say because they won't cut her, because Suri makes you feel like you're cutting your closest friend. And it's like, why would anybody do that? And you give her time, that's all she's going to make anybody feel like. It's going to be even harder. So she's just really great at breaking the wall down and making you trust her and think that she would never do anything to you, but like, she'll cut you. So that's Suri's game. And honestly, it's the most entertaining game of the season to follow, with a couple people right behind her, but just watching how she navigates it is probably one of the things that has kept me like engaged. So I'm like, I want to see what Suri's going to do next. I want to see how she handles this. And so that's something that's kept me like a little more engaged than probably I would have been. So well done to the producers for bringing her on. Cause it's, I think it's one of the things keeping me and maybe other people engaged.
Fair. Me too. I do want to talk about some of the duos. Like, obviously you and Derek were a big duo. We have Matt and Jag in here. They seem to be in lockstep. I think it's unclear right now. I think Jag is willing to go to the end with Matt. No problem. Matt, I'm not so sure. What do you think if they're trying to win this game, but they're a duo, a strong duo, they can win comps. Like, what's the best move for them right now? Do they go to the end together and just say, hey, let's see who wins? I mean, I think that'll work out a little better for Matt than Jag. But yeah, what do you think about that?
I think that the term duo in this house is supposed to be like a secret. And I feel like Matt and Jag are known to be a duo right now. It's like known. And I hear people saying it. I hear people lumping their names together. And if I'm being honest, the last thing you ever wanted to hear was you and your actual closest ally's name being lumped together. Like, Derek and I never wanted to be thought as a duo.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And watching this cast, I mean, same with Enzo and I. Enzo and I never wanted to be, I never wanted to sit on the block next to Derek. And on my season 22, I never wanted to sit on the block next to Enzo. And so it doesn't feel like any of them are like using that rationale when they're playing the game. They're almost like locked to their duo. The only one that did it was Suri and Jared for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And so again, that was part of the thing where I was like, it was such an advantage. They don't have to, like, the bond that a mother and a son have, you don't have to talk to each other. You know, that there's always trust. You know that they're number one. You don't have to check in with them. And nobody else is going to know that. So that's why a little bit on the advantage that I thought was given. But this duo of Jag, Matt, America, Corey, I'm like, one, the showman's drives me nuts, because when you're too busy laying up next to each other and not having conversations, you lose the pulse of the house. And that's what I feel like Corey has done. Like, Corey doesn't realize how public enemy number one, I think everybody else views him, because it doesn't have a pulse on it. Like, I don't think he realizes, like, Jag, Matt, these guys are going to turn on you. Like, he doesn't think they will. It's like, yes, they will. Like, Suri will cut you for what you did to her son. Like, she will not just, she, it's like, that's never going to go away. You can't have a good week with her and then have her forget, oh, you know, I like Corey. Like, Corey, Suri's out to get you, and it's not a good thing. So I just feel like these duos are just, it's like, I don't see any of them ever sitting next to each other at the end, because everybody knows they're a duo and one of them are going to get clipped inevitably. So I don't see Matt and Jag riding out to the end, because I feel like they're going to be clipped, and then maybe one of them could, but I don't see them both.
Yeah. In terms of Corey and America, who do you think is going to outlast the other?
It's really, really hard to guess that, because I know they'll target Corey, but in that week, if Corey happens to win the veto, America will go. So I think public enemy number one is going to be Corey over America, but it's hard to say that, like, Corey will go before her, because I mean, if she loses a comp and he wins it, which, I mean, it's not like either of them are these incredible at competitions, but I would say Corey probably goes first, because they probably view him as the head of the snake, and you cut the head off every time. You don't, like, weaken the snake. You cut it off. You kill it.
Yeah. I think
so.
He has
Corey, I think, will go.
Yeah. I think he has a little more win equity too. And I think people realize he could probably win over America. But anyway,
I agree with you.
Yeah. And we know Cam is probably going this week. What are your, I guess, what's your eulogy on Cam? What do you think of his game overall?
I think he, once he was, like, public enemy number one early and he was on the block and they really wanted to target him, I thought that his game was in trouble. Then when he got voted out and he came back in, it was like, I knew it was only a matter of time, because the story of Cam was, like, too good to let stay in the house. And that's how I would have treated it. I'm like, so this guy has been on the block a ton. When he's not on the block, it's only because he wins HOH. Then he goes on the block, goes home, comes back in, wins the HOH. It's like,
and the veto.
So he's got a ton of competition wins. But if you think about the story, like, I would always think in terms of, like, what's the story that they can sell to the jury? And Cam's story to the jury would win over anybody in the house if he made it to the final two. Nobody, if he got there, it would have been hard to convince me or probably anybody who played a better game than Cam. Because it's like, he was public enemy number one so much so that he went home. Then he came back in and with an HOH was able to settle himself into the house. Now what we saw was, it was always on everybody's radar. And Bowie, of all people, I was like, oh, Cam's definitely safe this week. I was like, there is no chance Bowie, who he was on the outs with in a boat, they were blindsided, she was clueless, crying to everybody, only knew she could trust Cam, turns and throws him on the block. All for something that he said to Jag about her possibly working with the other side. I was like, that's not great reasoning, but I mean, he should go home. He should go home.
Yes, that is the right move. And I'm sure Bowie, if she gets to the end, will use that as, you know, part of her resume that she got Cam out, even though it wasn't her original idea. But I'm actually interested to know. So you have not been on the jury, but as someone who comes back, you know, they were unanimously voted out, Cameron and Jag. If they get to the end, is that a ding in their game? Would you consider voting for someone if they were voted out? Do you say, hey, that's part of the game, they came back in? Or are you like, no, they were voted out, so they don't deserve to win over someone who's never voted out?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. I think
it's tough.
It would weigh on me. And it would really ultimately depend on what did the person do next to them. If the person that's sitting next to them was like, I mean, anybody on this season sitting next to Cam at the end, I would be like, well, what did you do in comparison to him? Like, if the only knock is that he got voted out, I'd be like, that he's good. Unless the person that's sitting next to him won a bunch of comps at the end, maybe wasn't nominated for a stretch of time and really just kind of like got themselves there. That's the only way I would be like, okay, that person should probably win over Cam. But Cam right now is like easily the front runner that would, I think, get, I mean, unless people are bitter, he should get the votes of the jury if he got to the end.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Okay. You mentioned a couple of things that I want to dive a little deeper into, just like things that people talk about in every season. One of them being, because you're also in that weird, like small category of players who are both like a comp beast and a very good social player where everyone likes you. And that's very rare, I would say. So I guess, can or should someone win? Can they win at the end if they have not won comps? Like, how much of the social strategy impresses you in the end, I guess?
Yeah, and it's a lot. But the problem with social strategy is it's different in the eyes of the beholder. So like my social game, I can explain because I'm there. And then I'll watch somebody else and like they may have a social game in their own mind, but it's like, when they explain it, they probably think theirs is better than mine, right? So that's why I don't love the term like social game with this game of Big Brother, because there's personalities that just do well socially. And those people are great because of their personality. And then it's almost like, how are you using your personality to benefit your strategic game? So like the social aspect is just really kind of being yourself. Certain people can be themselves and are just either likable or not likable. Like, and we know that because we meet those people in our everyday lives. Like you run into somebody where you're just like, I can be with this person and they're not going to annoy me. Whereas you can run into somebody and within 5 minutes, you're like, if I have to spend more than a day with you, I probably am going to pull my hair out. Right. Like I have that with people, like I have that in my everyday life. And so it's not necessarily like a social strategy, as harsh as this may sound. It's more like personality types can do well socially in Big Brother. Then it's okay, what are you doing to help that? Or is it not winning competitions, but is it also having influence? Like, how much influence do you have? And that's why it's like, you look at someone like Suri, her personality may look like a great social game, but it's her influence that's her best aspect. And it's like, she knows when she has influence and then knows when to use that. Whereas somebody else is just like likable, right? Like someone like Matt, and this is not a knock on Matt. He has a great personality. He's extremely likable. Everything about him is likable. But is that a social strategy or is that just who Matt is, right? And I almost say that to myself, like, I don't know that I had this great social strategy. I just am who I am. I went in the house. I love having conversations with people. I don't look down on people. So I organically like gravitate. If somebody's like seems by themselves, I will like kind of gravitate to be like, yo, what's going on? Like, I don't want you to feel ostracized. That's not my social strategy. That's just me as a human being. Like, I don't like if people feel outcasted. I don't like if somebody feels like they're not involved in a group. So it translated well in Big Brother, but like my first go around on 16, how was I using that with any influence? I wasn't. I was really just using that compassionate side and my personality to then, when information was told to me, Derek would have a conversation with me and I would just kind of like relay it. Be like, this is the info that they told me, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I almost didn't realize the strategy I was playing socially because it was, it's not a social strategy. You get what I mean? It's kind of like, so it's kind of tough to see, okay, your social game is what? Like, what is your social game? Your personality?
It's hard to telegraph. It's hard to say that. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, what am I voting on? Your personality? Like, or am I voting on like the social game that you play? Like, what was your social game? Who did you influence with your social game when you were not in power? And if you can't like make me understand that and the jury, there's no point in just saying, well, I had a good social game. Everybody liked me. It's like, okay, that kept you off the block, I guess. But it's like, how does that help you win? And if you don't view that in your head, like, okay, that's enough of a winner, then you don't. And last year, I guess it's where the script got rewritten on that. It was like, almost like voting for the underdog story. Because it's like Monty, in my opinion, was a beast on that season. He wasn't nominated much. He had a good social game, which was just him. But he had strategy behind it. And Taylor was almost like, her strategy was she didn't go home. And then she used that incredibly in the finale and got everybody. But it's like, is that the winner that you say, okay, that person like really like they crushed the season. They played the game of Big Brother. And so it's like, I want to know who played the game. Is like your social strategy was just not being on the block. Like, okay, you didn't play. You weren't involved in decisions. You weren't like, you know, cutting the head off of a snake that you couldn't have done yourself because you can't win competitions. So it's like, where's the influence? And that's why I don't think they see Ceri. Ceri's influence is like within the house. Like if Ceri's in the jury, she'll influence who the winner is. If Ceri's in the final two, she'll influence to be the winner. Like that's how I view Ceri. And I don't think anybody realizes that because they just think like, oh, maybe she can't win comps. I'm like, dude, that's half the game, but it's not social. To me, it's influence. So that's that's what I'll say to anybody that says social strategy. It's more to me, if I can see your influence, then that's social. But if it's just like, I had a good social game, I'm like, what is your social game? Like people liked you. Okay. You have an awesome personality. Like great.
But what did you do with it?
But what did you do with it? And I can say that confidently because I did nothing with it on 22, but because I had that person that I was linked with.
Yeah.
That was strategic and knew what to do with that information. Like there were moments on 16 where I had a social strategy that I wasn't strategically about to make the right decision. And if I didn't have Derek to be like, dude, you're making an emotional choice. Don't do that. It's bad for your long-term game. That would have been an emotional decision I made on 16. I don't know how it would have played out for me. So that's where I'll say it's like, would then my social game have been any good? No, it would have been a good personality in the game that couldn't make good strategic decisions with the information that they're given because of their social game, I guess. So that's why there's like a big knock on it for me. And I don't think people view it properly, but I guess I'm just like, I don't know.
I mean, it's subjective, right?
It's always subjective. Yeah, totally. Exactly.
Like this next question. So I have my own opinions, but everyone has a different opinion. I don't even think there's a right answer, but like when it comes to a bitter jury, I think that's a thing, right? Like a juror can be bitter. I think it's 100%. That's a thing. I also kind of personally, I think, you know, the right person always wins the game because at the end of the day, if someone is bitter toward you, sure, there are times where it's kind of like, well, I'll never vote for you. It doesn't matter. But I still feel like it falls to the person for not managing that or, you know what I mean?
Completely.
So that's how I think. What do you think about bitter jurors?
I completely agree because I think the more I start to think about the psychology of this game, which just fascinates me, is why are they bitter? And most of the time they're bitter because of how you made them feel. And I think a lot of that correlates to like, maybe you made them feel stupid, not directly, maybe indirectly, because maybe it was, you voted them out and then you get into they're out of the house. The game is over. And you're kind of like telling them that you had nothing to do with it. And that maybe makes somebody feel like, well, I know you did. And if you didn't, then they don't buy it. And then it almost feels like you're making them feel dumb. And it's like, you're putting everybody has a hand when somebody goes home, whether you're one of the votes, you know, where the vote's going. And if you go into all your diary rooms saying like, I don't know what happened. And then everybody starts to come into the jury and is like, so-and-so still in the house. And they were doing this. Oh yeah. They knew about this. And then you think back and you're like, well, why did they say that to me in my exit? Like my goodbye message. Why did they, I don't like that. They're making me feel stupid. Like I know what they were doing. What are they going to try to tell me? They had to do it because of the game. And it's like, no, it's the game. There's going to be a winner. There's going to be a loser. And I felt when I played the second time, I went more along the lines of like, I'm just going to tell them and hope that they understand. It's like, this was happening. This is what was going on. These are the people that I was working with. And this is ultimately the decision that had to be done to further my game. And I'm sorry that it was at your expense, but like, that's how I would always go into my goodbye messages, to be like, I hope this is the kind of the message I want to give. And I think you get a bitter jury when you do what you have to do in the game, which everybody has to and can understand, I think, but then you don't like make people feel like understanding. And it's like, oh, well, they did have to do that. And again, part of the game, like Derek did it in the game. Like he would do it when he knew people were going home, he would go and talk to him and be like, listen, I'm on your side. Like it is what it is. And then in the goodbye message, like, sorry, like it's just, this is how it went. And I took that from 16. I was like, that's what, if I'm going to win the game, because I did zero jury management on 16. I didn't talk to people as they left. I didn't say anything in the goodbye message. I did nothing. And so there was ultimately people that voted for me, like Donnie, who just liked me, and Jocasta, who just was mad at Derek.
Yeah.
And so I was like, there were other people I thought could have voted for me, like Christine, which I was like, whatever. I get why she didn't now at this point.
That might have been for appearances. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But yeah, so it was like, when you don't help like people understand why you had to do what you had to do and kind of get them to understand it in that moment, it's only going to get worse in the jury house. They're going to get bothered. They're going to not stop thinking about it. And then it's going to come out in the vote. And it usually comes out in the questions. I will say that. It usually comes out in the questions.
I think you're right. And I think they're both risks, but the risk to just tell the truth and hope they like understand is less than lying and having them find out. And then they feel like, well, yeah, like they made me feel stupid what they think I'm not going to find out. So I think that is the right move. And we are at the point where the jury is starting. You know, I spoke to Josh a lot about this because, you know, he used his goodbye messages and to that extent.
Brilliant. Yeah.
What are some of the ways, and you mentioned them, goodbye messages, kind of talking to people before they leave, like, what are some do's and don'ts in terms of jury management? Is there any case where you're like, let me just cut my losses, they're never going to vote for me, you think?
I don't think so. I think you have to go into, I mean, one of those situations that I was really nervous about was Davon, because Davon had a trust and a relationship with Enzo and I, and came to us on a real like serious level and well, like an honest level, and was like, I don't want to look stupid. Just let me know if I'm going to be going home. And I think she might've been saying it to myself, Enzo, maybe some other people, but I think it like meant like she was serious and was like, I don't want to, like, I don't know what was going through her head. And I dropped the ball on that. And I felt when she said her speech in the week that she was going, I was like, I botched that one up. I hope something clicks where she understands from my goodbye message. Cause I said stuff to her in my goodbye message. And that's all you can do is you can hope, because you have to be doing it on multiple levels. It's got to be partially in the house, partially understanding your game, partially in the goodbye message. There's like little pieces throughout the game that you can do it with somebody. And ultimately you have to try, but you have to make sure, is the one thing I will say, which was on my mind constantly. And I used kind of the situation we were in 2020, which may sound however it sounds, but I knew there was a small likelihood of a battle back because of the circumstances of our season. So I was like, I can divulge information because I don't think they're coming back in the house. So like, I will call out the alliance I was working in. I'll tell the people that were in it. Cause I highly, if that is how they come back in and I get like screwed, I could have never calculated that during a pandemic season of somebody leaving the house, coming back in, all the risks that involve that. I was like, there is not a chance that they do that. These producers do that on this show. And so I knew, so I would like say the alliances, I would say the names, I would say who was in them. And I would be like, this is what I was this is who I was working with. And this is where the decision came from. So there's risk in that, but you have to always be aware of, which people in the house are, and you'd be surprised how much we go over that stuff. Okay. There's a good chance there's a battle back right now. These are the times in the past that there's been battle backs. We got to equate for that. Then you can be very open and honest in your goodbye messages Other than that, you have to be very cryptic. And in those moments, if you're cryptic and too cryptic, the person may be sitting there being like, what did you just say to me? You might go like, what are you talking about? And then be annoyed. And then you get a bitter jury. So yeah, it's a lot. The game of Big Brother is brutal. It's brutal to play.
I couldn't do it. That's why I give you guys credit. Never be me. Well, I do want to ask, you know, I ask people for burning questions, and one of them, you know, listen, I talked to Derek about this. Season 16 is people get critical about because it was boring, whatever. Mm-hmm. Season 22, oh, the season was ruined because you got all the fan favorites out. Like, we know this, whatever. Do you think it's a fair assessment, or do you think it's just biased based on who you're rooting for and when they go out in the game?
No, I think it's definitely a fair assessment. And I say that like organically as a viewer. I say it all the time when I'm watching the seasons. Like, I've said it to Tiffany because I watched it with the cookout. And I was like, they're just running through the game. I'm bored. And I said it. And it's like, and then it's like, well, that's what viewers saw in 16 and on All Stars. They saw an alliance run through, never really be tested. The people that were influencing the house were never really tested because their alliance was so strong, and it makes it boring. So I completely agree with it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And so I take that when people say it to me, I'm like, they say it all the time when we're live. I'm like, I get it. I go, I apologize, but I'll take winning. If I'm a part of the season, I want it to be as boring as possible.
Yeah.
I want my alliance winning. I want the people that I'm working with winning so that it gives me a better chance of winning the game. And I'll take having the most boring season of all time for what then was $500,000, which that I'm still bitter about it that they upped it.
After. I mean, especially for All Stars, like they could have upped.
Yeah. 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 So, but you know, I mean, what does that do psychologically to some people? Does that make the season not go how it went? Maybe some people are willing to do other things that are crazier that they weren't willing to do. So I don't know. All those circumstances, the path that I was on was exactly what it was meant to be for that season to win. So I'm happy about it.
Listen, you can be critical about everything, basically. It's all subjective.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to mention this because people ask, and I talked to Derek about this. There was a lot of like, oh, pre-gaming before 22, which, you know, I actually was like hearing a lot of things. And funny enough, your name never came up, and your name never really came up before the season. And I have to assume that was purposeful. And
oh yeah,
how did you keep that under wraps?
Because the people that knew that I was going were people that I knew would never ever say I was going.
Yeah.
And so that was a part of my strategy. I was like, I do not want them knowing I'm going. I'm like, because I know exactly who's going, because they're all talking too much.
Yeah.
They're talking so much. They're calling, they're doing this, they're doing that. And I'm like, I know exactly who's going on the season. So what did I do with that? I spent the entire sequester preparing, watching their seasons, trying to understand like what they do, why they did it. How are they, like, how can I maybe try to get close with them? Okay. If it's not going to work, if I'm not getting this from them, then they're probably like going to target me. Like, I was watching so much. Like, going on All Stars was not just like, oh, I want to go back to Big Brother. Like, going to All Stars, I was like, I'm not going to do anything but win.
Yeah.
And so preparation goes into that. Like, in the game, sticking to strategy goes into that. Like, finding out what people have played the show and played this game that I would like to emulate. Why did they do well? And so I think that the biggest mistake that most people made on Big Brother was how much they were communicating. Because ultimately, I watched a lot of those people come into the house where I thought, like, I was like, oh, I know this person was talking to this person. I was very weary of it. I was like, if I see them like kind of around each other, I'll know that something was up. And so I was hyper aware of that as well. And so it was just like, everybody was like, oh, pre-gaming this, pre-gaming that. And it's like, I'll never say any names because that's just pointless. And I don't care because everybody thinks that I was pre-gaming and I knew information.
You and Derek got blamed for that season of pre-gaming when, I mean, I don't have a problem saying that like most of the cast was pre-gaming.
Yeah, they were. There is a ton of stuff that if it came to light, which I don't care because like I don't care to put somebody down to clear myself. It's like, it's the game. We played the game. Obviously it worked out for me. Like, and what influence, like, the thing about Derek and me ruining the season, because what influence do we have? Like, I hear a lot about what people say, and it's like, it's not like great things all the time. It's not like, oh, really love those two, really love this. It's like, there's stuff that's attached to it. And so I'm like, okay, like what influence did we have outside of the game? Like, were we guaranteed? Like, what were we doing here? And so it's just so funny. My favorite thing though, which I can talk about this because it was mentioned on finale night. Julie almost was like applauding Janelle for writing Cody and Enzo's name down. And what you just said to me, she was like, Janelle, whose names did you write down in the sequester house about who you would go after first? And she was like, Cody and Enzo and I were on the finale night. And I was like, I remember sitting there because I was still in game mode and was like, how did she know that me and Enzo were on the season? Cause I was scanning everything. Enzo's name wasn't coming up and neither was mine. You know when it did? After the fact when we were in sequester. So I was like, what's going on here? I'm like, what's going on here? I was like, so why are we celebrating that, Julie? It was just like, and that's why I was like, how come nobody's talking about that? It was like weird to me. It was very weird to me why she wrote that down in sequester. I was like, and we're just celebrating that. I was like, is that not suspicious? I was like, does nobody know that our names weren't showing up on anything? And so I was like, okay, if we're going to talk about pregame and anything, I was like, that's a little weird. But I was like, that happened on the live show. So I guess they thought nothing of it. But I was like, that was interesting to me. Because
I didn't catch that either. And like, honestly, I don't remember the exact timeline. But like, did your name even leak before the premiere? Like, I don't.
My name was never, ever out there, ever.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was weird.
Kacer. I don't think Kacer's name was leaked either.
Kacer was the, honestly, can I be 100% honest?
Yeah.
Kacer was one. Honestly, Kacer and Enzo were two people that I was like, super, I was like, oh my God, because their names never came up in circulation. And yeah, I saw the two of them, Kacer, which is so funny that we didn't work together. I was so excited when he was on the All-Star season. I like, because I had watched I watched the first All-Star season. And I really like was in him. I was like, oh, Kacer, this guy's cool. Like, I liked him. I was like, oh, he went home. But I was like, when we walked in and I was like, oh my God, it's Kacer. I was like super excited, which I would have never known that. So I was a little like starstruck. And then I heard he was like trying to target me. I was like, that hurts. That kind of sucks. But all right, I guess we're not playing the game together. So I'm going to have to play the game against you.
If Janelle's on your radar, then that basically means Kacer's on your radar.
Right. Which, and I understood that. But honestly, for me, Janelle wasn't really even on my radar. Like, I really liked Janelle. We got along. I don't think anybody really, I think it's because, you know, it's easy to just drag me and because I'm part of the reason why Janelle went home, I guess. Like, I was with Janelle a lot in that house. I would have a lot of conversations with her. We would talk about her family, real estate, because I was doing real estate at the time. Like, I would laugh with Janelle because, like, my personality is similar to hers. Like, I like talking smack. I do that. I like, you know, poking fun a little bit. Like, I just do it. I am. It is what it is. People probably think it's rude. It probably is. But Janelle kind of did the same. And we would have fun doing that, like mocking things that were happening, mocking stuff from previous seasons. Like, I love Janelle. Like, I love her. And so it was like, when I came out of the house, I was like, oh man, like I love Janelle. And everybody was like, I think I tweeted something like with Janelle and people like came for me. They're like, keep her name out of your mouth, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. So nothing. I was like, obviously nobody saw what was on the feeds with her and I like hanging in the yard, like laughing, having fun. Like, yeah, obviously we were on the opposite ends of the game, but that doesn't mean there was like any animosity. Like I was like, I love Janelle and I've loved Janelle since I've watched Janelle. So I was almost like, I was trying to get Kacer before Janelle and hoping to like work with Janelle. But everybody wanted Janelle first. So like, that's the other thing. I wanted Kacer before Janelle and I didn't even have enough influence to do that early in the game because everybody wanted Janelle. And so it was like, I don't know. I love Janelle. I don't know why people like kind of pin us on opposite sides. I'm like, she's very similar to how I am. Like I love her. I think she's awesome. I mean,
Janelle knows she's played all these games. She knows how it works. I don't think she's gonna, you know, people love to like create drama, but since we brought up Janelle, what do you think about her playing the traitors now?
Oh man, I think she'll be perfect. I think she'll be perfect. I think, you know who I think her game will emulate a lot is Kate Chastain.
Oh, okay. Yep. I can see it.
Janelle is who she is. I don't know that she would be a traitor. Maybe if she's a traitor, it'd be even better because her sound bites would probably be epic. But if she's a faithful, I could see them keeping her in the house for like the chaoticness that she brings. Yeah. And like, she's one that I'm very excited to watch. This cast that they put on that show is pretty exciting.
Yeah. So do you think Dan's in trouble in there with just like a reputation, or do you think none of these people know who he is and he'll be fine?
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Nobody knows, especially the fact that they brought in reality people. They didn't bring any, like, we were split in house half and half. Half of us were reality people, half of us were not. Like, this is a full reality cast, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? Yeah. These reality people, they're not
have no clue. No.
Some of them might, maybe one of them, maybe two of them. But I'll tell you what, like, I saw some names like Banana, CT. They're more known.
Probably
in the reality world than like Big Brother players are.
And then my opinion, so TV more recently.
More recently, like I could see, more recent, all that. I think because of also, it's like a lot of those like Bravo personalities too. I don't know that Dan is going to be like, wow, we got to get that guy out. Because also I have to say this, it is not Big Brother. It is the furthest thing from Big Brother. And so to like think Dan, who is literally a mastermind of Big Brother, he's absolutely incredible. You can't say anything negative. He should be a two-time winner. No disrespect to Ian. I think that you want to talk about like a bitter jury, like Dan.
Oh yeah, that was what I was thinking.
The fact that he went all the way to the end of what he did in that season, it was like in no way, shape, or form would I have voted the other way. It doesn't matter who he sat next to. Ian is a very deserving winner because he won out at the back end of the season, made the decisions to bring Dan because he knew, and the awareness to know nobody's voting for him is enough for him to be a very, it just stinks that it was next to Dan. So Ian's game was incredible. And I want to make sure I say that to make sure it wasn't a knock on Ian, because his awareness to bring Dan knowing nobody in the jury will vote for him is brilliant and a risk, and it paid off brilliant. So Ian's a very deserving winner. I just hate that it was at Dan's expense. Anyway,
That's how I feel.
Right. Okay. So in Traitors though, it's like, what's the person that I want to see play Traitors? You got to know who it is. It's Derek. This is what his job was, figuring out based off of body language and stuff like you slipped some stuff like that. Like detective work is Derek. Dan is not a detective. Dan is great at understanding, much like Suri, the social stuff, everything, understanding where his influence is and all that stuff. Brilliant. That isn't that easy in Traitors. It's like Traitors is such a brutal game where everybody is, it's a fast game too. Like that game is played every day, every day. Every day is a whole day. And it's like, it's exhausting. So you wake up, there's the murder, there's the competition, there's a round table, there's the murder reveals in the morning, the murder at night, and then boom, you're doing it all over the next day. You don't have time to just be like sitting in the Big Brother house or like on Survivor where you're just sitting out. Like there's not that time in this house. And it's like, it's a wild fast-paced game. It's not Big Brother. I think Dan will do great because he's great at reading the room, social cues, which is very important. And I think he has the stomach for it, where I unfortunately did not. Like, I didn't have the stomach for that kind of a game. I just didn't. Like, I just didn't have the stomach for that kind of a game.
Going in knowing you have to immediately lie, like, I feel like you, at least from my perspective, like, you can lie to people, but, like, warm up to them because you become friends with them and stuff. I feel like you just went in, they're basically like, you're a traitor. You basically have to lie on the spot going forward.
Yeah. And the thing was, is like... And you know, the saddest thing was, Sharon, I wanted to be a traitor or I didn't want to play. And I was a traitor. And honestly, the beginning was fun. First couple of days. I was there for a while. It became no fun at all. I was having no fun. I was having no fun doing what I was doing. I was having no fun having conversations with people, having them tell, like, the excitement got like stripped from me. Probably right around when that stuff happened with Ryan, I was like breaking. I was already like every day I would go in there and I'd be like all the stuff. I would have my moments in the confessional And then it was like the way that the stuff happened with Ryan kind of was just like, I'm done. Like, yeah. I don't want to work with Sari and Christian. I can't work with anybody in the house because it's just, it's already weighing on me too much. I'm done. I'm checked out. And I knew I was going to go very soon because the day after, I might have to save this for later. I have to save this for later because it's something that people don't know. Yeah. So I got to save that.
Oh, well, I'm excited. But yeah, we could see on your face, I think. And then once Kyle kind of turned on you, I was like, oh, he's done. Like,
because Kyle
was your guy.
He was. And so the thing was, is like, this is why it didn't bother me that Kyle turned on me, because what I thought was, this guy's playing the game. He just caught me in a slip up. And I respected that more than anything, because he was somebody I was close with. And I love Kyle. He's the best. Yeah. And I've respected it so much that he was like, he like caught something and was like, that's so weird. I was weary about Cody and he just gave me what I needed. Even though it's so funny, it went over the, it went into the reunion and I don't forget things. I don't make things up. This isn't a lie. I'm not that player. Ryan and Amanda talked to me in that house. And after in the reunion, Ryan was like, I don't remember that. And Amanda was like, I don't remember it either. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because what I said to Kyle was actually said to me. Ryan said it literally the night before. It wasn't like I jogged my memory. It wasn't like anything. Like, he said it to me the night before. To say that to Kyle was super dumb. It was super stupid. But I also wasn't seeing the game going that way. I didn't see Ryan going home the night that he did. I saw Ryan going home like very shortly after that. But it was just like the culmination of all this stuff made me just be like, I'm checked out of this game. This game is weighing too heavily on me. I can't keep doing it. Like, I just can't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might have played out differently if you played with all celebrities too. Do you think so? Because you'd have like half. I don't know.
No, I maybe.
It's because you were a traitor.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I think. Yeah. I think being a traitor was tough. It was really tough. It was really stupid, and I wasn't myself. Like, the fact that I didn't cater to Rachel, because Rachel just needed me to talk to her. And I wasn't talking to her at all. I have a relationship with Rachel outside the house. I've known Rachel. I wasn't even like going near her. For what reason? I don't have rational reasoning. It's only thing is like, I just wasn't in a good rational state of mind. Like, why wouldn't I be communicating with Rachel to gain her trust to make sure if my name came up there? Because what I also know about Rachel is she would ride for people that she trusts day in, day out blindly.
Yep.
And that's all I needed to do. And I know that about Rachel, and I just didn't go near her. So it's just like being a traitor, whether it was all reality people or not, I don't think it would have mattered, because I still would have not, if I was a traitor, I still would have not been myself. And I still would have missed cues what you need to be doing to win the game as a traitor. You need to do what Sari was doing. You talk as little as possible until somebody asks you your genuine opinion, people that you trust. And you don't bring up anything at the round tables. I was starting to talk too much at the round tables. I was like talking too much in the house. I'm like, and then afterwards I was like, you were talking. Like, immediately I was like, you talked way too much, dude. Like, thank God you're out of that house. And so it's just, the game is a really difficult game. And
the self-awareness is nice though, Cody, because like not everyone can look at their game and be like, well, you know, I don't want to criticize my game. It just happened, you know, whatever. But I like that you kind of were like, no, I made this move. This game just wasn't for you. So
yeah, it just, and honestly, what that game did was like almost scarred me for doing like any manipulation type show. Like,
That brings up my next question, Cody.
Okay, well, here we go.
First, let's ask about Big Brother. What would it have to look like for you to ever return to Big Brother?
I genuinely don't know. I don't know what it would have to look like. I don't even have that answer. I'm working.
All legends of some sort, shorter season. Yeah,
to be honest, that seems enticing, really enticing. And I was of the state of mind of it has to be a shorter season.
Yeah.
But what I learned on the Traders is that shorter season takes more of a mental toll on me than than Big Brother's longevity ever did, ever, ever.
Wow.
And it took such a toll on me that it was like the thought of doing something like that, like, makes me anxious genuinely now, which is never something that I've ever done. I've never had that in my life. And I think, honestly, I think a lot of these shows have taken the toll of, like, I think it's run its course on me of like this is a lot. And thinking about doing it, even right now, like talking about doing it is like making me feel some type of way. And I'm like, is that good for my state of mind? Like, I love talking about it. I like being home with my, I like my comfort zone. And it's almost like these shows have scared me back into my like little cave, which I know I got to break out of that. And I'm at least I'm aware of it to be like, you have to snap out of this, 'cause this is no way to be. But I don't know what it would look like. It's a long-winded answer, but I just genuinely don't know. I also have a job now that I love. It's something that it's in a field too that I really, really like. It's meaningful. And so it would take a lot. I don't know. I just don't know the answer. Something, it would have to be like an in the moment. Like I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I mean, most likely, I would assume, maybe I'm wrong, Derek might yell at me, but I would assume Derek would likely be there with you. So maybe it wouldn't be as jarring. But yeah, I get it. Like,
But here's the thing that I learned when I was talking to somebody after the Traders. I talked to somebody, he's an incredible guy. There's a competitive side of me and like a compassionate side of me. And when the two of them are clashing, I'm a mess. And doing these shows, even that, it's like, I know it's easy to say like, oh, I would have Derek there. It's not a matter of having people there that make me feel comfortable, because like, I want to win. And if I can't do everything that I need to do to win, I'm going to be very mad at myself, and I'm going to be having moral dilemmas, and I'm going to be having like mental, like a mental dilemma with myself, which is like pulling me in two different directions, which I found on Traders, like that's not me. And it's hard for me to, it's hard to get myself back into that mode. Like I was saying on Big Brother 22, like the mode that I was in going in that season was like, I don't care if I don't have a friend after the show. I was like, I'm going to win.
Right.
And okay. If you go into any of these shows without that mentality, you're not going into it to win. And it's like, why would I do things that there's a winner at the end that, and I don't know, I view myself very competitive, and I think I'm very capable. And I do, I have like a jealousy. If somebody beats me in something, like I'm annoyed by that. I get very annoyed. And I'm like, that, I could have done that.
You're competitive. Yeah.
Right. Nice. And so it's like, I don't want to put myself in situations if I can't. Now, maybe something changes in my head and now I'm mentally ready to go, but I'll only be going back on these shows if I'm mentally ready to do whatever it takes to win, which would be probably going against like where I'm at right now in my life.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I know I'm taking so much of your time. I have a couple more questions I'll try to get out.
It's all good.
Okay. So is Survivor and the Challenge off the table? No interest?
Oh man. Survivor, I would never do it. I can't do that. I can't sleep out there. To the Challenge, I love. There's always something. Stuff, it's so unfortunate. I should have done the Challenge already.
I mean, and you were asked, right? Like you had been
certain done. Things. I don't want to talk too much about it. Certain things didn't align.
Okay.
It's just never aligned perfectly. Recently it seemed like it was, and then it didn't. That's one of the shows that like I've been dying to go on since like way back. I had bad advice way back when I should have did it when I first was asked, like years ago. After 16, excuse me. Yeah. And I'm very frustrated at the advice that I got then to not do it, because that's when I was like all in on it. Then another time I was asked and it just didn't line up right. And then another time I was asking, other circumstances kind of got in the way of it. And so it just is unfortunate that that's one of the things where like, if I don't play that game, I'm going to be like, man, I wonder what if, like what it would be like. And the other thing was, is this past, I was supposed to be on the most recent one.
But like the regular Challenge or USA?
The USA one. Yeah.
Okay.
Which I would have loved, because it had people from the regular Challenge, which again is another thing that frustrates me, is because the initial time was MTV, obviously, because CBS wasn't around. The CBS Challenge wasn't around, but that was an opportunity to go into that realm. It just, I'm upset that way back then I didn't get to do it.
Would you want to do it with Polly, or you think it's better if you don't play together?
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Genuinely, I think people may, you know, this past season with Paulie, I think kind of he went in a different way. I think he's less threatening to people when he's not explosive and overly emotional. And I think me being in the house, you would have seen that side of Paulie, like with me in the house. And I think that would have made people be like, oh, okay. Like, people are always going to view Paulie or me as a threat, but it's like, the challenge is made up of threats. Like Tyler Crispin, threat. Fessy, threat. Josh, threat. Bananas, threat. CT. Like, all these guys are threats. Then you have the women's side who are beasts, but it's like guys and girls don't necessarily get pitted against each other. Like, you see like the guys' eliminations and stuff like that, unless it's a duo season, which I don't necessarily know with Paulie or without Paulie would make me any more of a target. Hmm. You know what I know? You know what I mean? Like, cause we're still competing against each other. Like, we may be on a different team. We may have to run against each other in the finals. Like, it's not like I'm going to be helping Paulie. Like, here, Paulie, let me help you with this puzzle. It's like, no, I'm here to beat you, Paul. You're my brother. I love you. If anybody's coming after you, I'm going to target them. But it's like, I'm not going to help you. And that's the same with everybody in there. Whoever you're close with, if somebody targets them, you're going to probably target them back. So I don't know that it would hurt.
Yeah. Can you say why you didn't do the challenge, CBS? Was it your decision?
Know. It wasn't.
Okay.
I don't know.
So you're like, but now I guess we're on season two. You're like, do I still want to do this? I get it.
Right. Like, I was ready to rock. I was ready to go. I was going. And that's the annoying part is like, now I think I'm getting, and like, I think it, I, and honestly, when it first came through, I was excited, but like, I still had like my emotions and stuff from the traders. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I was like, I don't want to do it. I have to think about it. And I thought about it and I came to, I was like, it's, and the reasoning I came to was, I was like, it's less manipulative. I was never going to go to the challenge and be like, I'm here to manipulate. I'm going to be like, you're either going to throw me in and beat me, or I'm going to compete every day. It's, and to me, it felt less manipulative because there's always that aspect of like, yeah, I could be nice to your face and really, but it's like Big Brother also, and the challenge feel more like a team effort to me.
Hmm.
And I do well in those settings. Like, I do well with my alliances. I do well if I was going to go on the challenge, I would want people that I would work with where I don't feel like I'm out there by myself. And the traders felt like I was on an island. Even as a trader, I felt on an island. I was like, I mean, I not only have to worry about the faithfuls figuring out who I am, but I also have to worry about the traders cutting me. It's like, and I don't really trust them. I didn't trust Christian. I didn't trust Sari. I was like, I'm working with them. And I was like, so the challenge, I think, was where I was in the right headspace, which is why I was willing to go.
Okay. Well, this all makes sense, actually. I kind of agree with you in terms of like team, traders, you're kind of on your own there. Do you and Paulie ever talk before your seasons, like, hey, like strategy, or you're like, it's totally separate. You guys don't talk about that.
Before you're
about to do a show.
Yeah. So, well, I don't call Paulie for strategy. But when Paulie's going on a show,
he'll admit that. It's fine.
Yeah, he definitely will. Paulie and me are an extreme open book. And honestly, if I'm ever going to do a different podcast, it's only with Paulie. It's just like us talking about like our memories and stuff that we grew up. Cause like, if you talk to Paulie and I, we have two different realities that we grew up in. It's the most fascinating thing to me. Cause I think about it in terms of like, what in the world? Like, he'll tell a story and I'll be like, you included me in that story. Like, I was there. And I was like, that never happened. And so we have this dynamic, which is like amazing. And that's the only thing where I would kind of want to do like in the life with my brother. And it was because we just have like this kind of crazy experience of like athletics, going into reality shows, like doing all this stuff. And it's like, we're still super competitive. And, you know, I still throw at him that I've won and he hasn't. Like, we have that kind of dynamic and I love it because he's still a beast and I love him to death because he's just an animal when he competes, which is why we didn't train together growing up. I was like, I don't want to train with you. You're going to hurt me. Like, I don't like it. We would wrestle and we both wrestled when we were younger. I was like, I don't want to practice to get better against Paulie. He's just going to hurt me. Like, he never was somebody that I wanted to compete against. He scares the crap out of me. But yeah, he's like, we don't talk strategy because I tried to talk strategy with him before Big Brother and he did none of it. And I was like, okay. So I was like, what is the point of that? And I don't know the challenge that well. So if I was going to go on the challenge, I would talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, And I don't want to give him advice. I only give him advice on like the personal side of things where it's like, don't be hostile towards people. Like, don't make people feel threatened by you. Like, that's not the best way to gain power. Like, power through fear causes revolts. I'm like, that's not how you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's not how you gain trust with people. If they fear you, they just are using you until they're going to stab you in the back and you won't even see it coming. So I would talk to him about stuff like that. More social things, because he would ask me about stuff like that. But the game of the challenge, like Paulie does, other than this past season, which I think he had a lot of other stuff going on.
But he built a lot of relationships and mended a lot of fences, I feel
he
like.
He did great. And I think that that is a win in itself.
Right.
But other seasons, he's gone so far in the challenge, he's a beast. And he's feared because, not because he makes people feel afraid of him, he's feared because he's such a beast in competition. It's like, dude, if we put this kid in and he comes back, he wins dailies on the regular, he's going to kill us. So it's like, that's the way to do it. Like, that's how CT would kind of gain. He'd be like, dude, put me down there. I'm not afraid to go down. And if you don't beat me, I'm going to win a daily. I'm going to be in power. I'm going to throw you in. And then, you know, Banana, same thing. West, same kind of thing. So it's like these guys, like, you know, even on the girl side, like Cara wasn't thrown into the elimination much because Cara wins eliminations.
Right.
Laurel's like the most winning, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe somebody else, maybe I'm mistaken, but like Laurel, you don't throw her down. Like Tori, you look at Tori this, it's like, you want to throw Tori down? There's a strong chance she's coming back, and not 50-50 because it's 1v1. Like, she's a beast.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want to gain fear through being thrown down, not fear through like, I don't know what Paul's going to do. He's crazy. So we were talking in terms of that, but we don't talk a ton of strategy beforehand.
I love it. I like honestly sometimes forget you guys are brothers because you're so different. Fun. One other question I skipped over, and people want to know, who from your seasons do you talk to the most? Would you say anyone you don't?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I talk to Derek.
Yeah.
Like regularly. Danny, I stay in touch with a lot. Like, I love Danny. I love her family. I love seeing her girls. I always am asking about the girls. She's always like, she always reaches out. We did a great job of staying in touch, Danny and I. Who else? Like, on a regular basis, Enzo. I'll see Enzo. Enzo and I are like great at, this is my favorite thing, our relationship picks up where it left off. That's why he's one of my closest friends. Like, our relationship picks up whether we talk or whether we don't. And like, and for me, not talking to people isn't personal. Cause I know how my life is. And I know that people's lives also, there's a lot of stuff going on. So like, Enzo and I will talk here and there. Danny and I will talk here and there. Frankie and I will talk here and there. Like, if Frankie's in the city or something's going on, Frankie will always be like, come in and do this. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, I went and saw Frankie's play Titanic when he did that. It was absolutely incredible. When Frankie does these shows, he's so captivating. It's like, that's why I go. So stay in touch with Frankie. Tiffany, who I love, who's never been on a season. I've never even met Tiffany in person, but she probably feels like one of the closest people to me. Like, I adore Tiffany.
Isn't that funny? You've never met her?
Yeah. In person.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, well, but it's,
you know what I'm going to ask. So you don't talk to Nicole Franzo. I mean, I've already asked her. He was like, you know, you guys wished each other the best, but you're not like best friends. Is that the case for you?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't spoken. So, I mean, I obviously wish Nicole the best. Oh, we did actually. There was a group chat. That sparked up between Memphis Christmas, Nicole and I can't remember what started it.
What a random group. Oh, well, I guess you and Memphis are still friends, are you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't talk to Memphis, but like, I still adore Memphis. Like, if I go to Fort Lauderdale, I will absolutely call Memphis. I went to Fort Lauderdale for my buddy's bachelor party very shortly after the All-Star season. Memphis literally was like, this place is what you got to do. This is, and literally just followed suit. I'm so mad that I wasn't able to get out to a sushi restaurant, but I know I'm going to be going to Fort Lauderdale at some point. Because whether it's vacationing with Christy, we want to start doing trips like that a little bit more. And Fort Lauderdale, I will be seeing Memphis and Christmas, cause I love them both. But I don't talk to them. Like, you know what I mean?
What was the group chat about? That's like,
I can't remember. Anyway, that's what made me digress. I can't remember at all, but I remember something that Nicole had mentioned, like she had just bought a house. And so I said, like, congratulations. And she had made a little joke to me about like, make sure you take care of your money. So like, I know there's no ill will. I absolutely understand when the season was over, if Nicole was like, I will not talk to him, I need time to get over this. Like, duh. She was literally, there was Enzo and Nicole. I couldn't tell you who I was closer with on that season. I loved them both equally. I think I was willing to divulge more information to Enzo because I also was a little shaky about Nicole's relationship with like Danny. And I just didn't know. And I also know that Nicole is a beast.
She's very smart.
Right. Let's not forget that. But I also know that Nicole and I were extremely tight and I genuinely feel this way. And I don't know what she said about this. I don't think she would have ever cut me in the final two. If she would have beat me in that competition.
No, she wouldn't have.
Yeah, I don't think she was, which is why I think that hurts so badly when I did it. Because also, like, Nicole was like, I just have a great relationship with her. She's like one of my best friends. It's so crazy to think that we haven't talked.
Yeah.
Because it was like, when I'm in the house, even 16, we were like crazy close. Now, after the seasons, Nicole and I don't talk. So like after 16, we didn't really talk that much. But our moms are... we're very close. They talk a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was just weird, but we just never talked, but it's like, it wasn't anything personal. It was just like, you know, she's doing her thing. I'm doing my thing. Our lives are just, we don't communicate, but if we ever saw each other, it'd be good. After 22, I was like, oh yeah, like she's going to feel some type of way. It's probably going to take time. Yeah. But it was like, for me, I was like, okay, she's going to take the time. And then it became so long that when I heard she had mentioned like on a podcast that she was like willing, ready to talk to me, I was like, it had so long had passed. I was like, how come she hasn't hit me up then? So I was like, you say it on a podcast, but so for me, I was like, all right, well, that's kind of like, is that like you like trying to fish to get me to reach out? So I was just like, I don't know what that was. So we just haven't talking, but it's not, I don't take it personally. And I don't think she does either. So yeah, it's just
people have their own lives.
She's got a kid. Yeah. She's got a lot going on.
I honestly think if you guys did end up talking, it'd probably be fine.
it would be easily, you don't talk
to everyone you went to high school with, but if you see them, you're like, hey, how you doing?
Absolutely. And that's what I feel like a lot of people don't understand about Big Brother, like the game. It's kind of like that, right? It's like, I really love everybody that I played the game with. Do I talk to everybody? No, but they have so much going on in their lives. Like, I have a lot going on. It's like, if we don't organically find that where it's like, right away I was talking to Danny, like about the girls, about Dom, like, well, about Tennessee at first, because Tennessee was the only one born at the time, but it was like, you start to learn more about like their family. And now I like have an interest about hearing how her girls are doing. Like, what's Dom doing? What are you up to? Like, we have conversations like that, that are just surrounding like our lives. She asked me about Christy, about like a lot. So it's like, it was good. And when you start that early, it's like, okay, that's our relationship now. It's not just the game. And now it's almost like so much time has passed where it's like, what are we, I would obviously organically have a conversation, but it's hard enough to talk to my best friends. Like on an honest note, my best friends, like I won't talk to some of my best friends for like a month.
Same.
And I'm like, but then I'll see him and I'll be like, yo dude, like, where have you been? You've been missing. I've been missing. Let's figure it out. Let's get together Sunday or get together Friday. Like, and it's like, okay, that's just how it goes. It's easier to do that here when I'm in person with them, but I'm not great at reaching out to people. Because honestly, it's like, I don't know what it is about me. I'm just, I don't know, an idiot. I don't know. I'm stupid sometimes, but just like, it's so comfortable. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to spend like 45 minutes on the phone.
Like responding to texts.
But I'm like, all I want to do right now is watch Vanderpump. Like that's all I'm doing right now.
Oh, Vanderpump.
I started season one. Christy and I went all the way back ever since Scandal. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We're on season 10.
You're on season 10?
We're on season 10 right now. We're about halfway through it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The drama's real. It's my favorite reality show. It's the greatest.
Have you watched Kyle and Summer House yet?
But I watched Summer House.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did. I watched. So I started watching Summer House. Christy was like early of Summer House. My buddies watched Summer House. So I was drinking Loverboy like before we even went on Traders. I was like, dude. And I said to Kyle, I love
it. Have your back then. Come on.
I mean, we were like Kyle did. And like, I feel like I was doing good with Kyle on Traders until I said something that was like out of pocket. Yeah. And Kyle's like, I don't think people give Kyle enough credit for like he's a brilliant mind. I said to him, I was like, dude, you should play Celebrity Big Brother. He's a brilliant mind. Like this guy is an entrepreneur. He's running an incredible business, like a liquor business. He's been doing that entrepreneurial stuff a lot. And that's kind of stuff like talking to people, relationship building, stuff like that. That's what's good in these like reality games. So I told him that, and I think I had like a little bit of an in, but he still was like, his ears were up with me the whole time because of Big Brother and what other people would tell him about me on Big Brother. And so he was always weary of me, and I gave him the ammo that he needed.
Well, I love that you're into the Bravo shows.
Oh yeah. I love Summer House. Well, I only watch Summer House and Winter House. And then now I watch Vanderpump, and I always will.
Maybe check out Southern Charm too, since it's related, you know, Craig and Paige and I don't know. Southern Charm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But
Craig and Paige crack me up. They're hilarious.
Yeah. That's an interesting couple. I know I've taken so much of your time, and thank you so much for being open. You know, before we wrap up, I like to ask my guests, you know, do you have something exclusive you can share with my listeners, whether it's a story from your time on reality TV before, after? What do you have something for us? What can you share?
Yeah, the exclusive was when I was on Traders, after that stuff had happened and everything was blowing up, I knew I was gone. And I knew I was gone because Christian, the other trader, after the stuff happened with Cherie, and she kind of blew up and she made us both feel like some type of way, Christian came up to me and goes, we got to cut her. We can't trust her. We got to cut her. What she did to you last night was a lot. Off camera, obviously. So there's like full capable. I know exactly where it was. I know exactly when he said it. I know exactly. We came in together that day. We were going to the bathroom. So it was like, before you got to get mic'd up, all this stuff. We were like, oh, we're going to go to the bathroom. As we're going there, he says it to me. And I was like, bro, absolutely not. I was like, not a chance. No way. But all that did was let me know. I was like, oh, he'll cut a traitor easily.
Yeah.
And I knew that Cherie had trusted me. And then I don't know what the Stephanie stuff. And maybe it was, I was getting too close to Ryan, and I knew why she did it. Cause Ryan had mentioned her name. And so I knew she was trying to manipulate the situation. I just didn't like how she went about it. Cause she could have said straight up to me, like, hey, he's mentioning my name. And right along the lines of, he is known to not be a traitor, which we were purposely targeting those people. So the rationale to go after Ryan was proper. And he was talking about her, but it's like the way she went about it. Like, I was like, she doesn't trust me anymore. So I knew she would also cut me, knowing Survivor Cherie, from what I was hearing. So I was just like, I'm done. They got me in a confessional. They were like, are you willing to cut them? I go, no, but Christian just asked me to cut Cherie. And so I know they're going to be cutting me very soon. I'll probably be cut within the day or 2 days. And then like the second day I was sent home. So I was like, I knew that was coming. And so, but like, and that's why at the round table, when I felt it coming, I was getting emotional. I was like, oh, I'm going. Thank God. I could, the weight's lifted off my shoulder. Like I was like, I like smiled when I left and exited, and I saw people, I saw the PA, I was like hugging people. I was like, oh my God, thank God I'm done. I was like, I'm so happy. I was like crying tears of joy. It was wild.
Did you ever consider going to Cherie and being like, Christian saying your name, let's just vote him out?
Wasn't even a thought. Cause I didn't feel like I was not playing that game. I did not want to do it. I had zero desire to even go there, which again, circles back to, I was absolutely not willing to do what needed to be done to win the game. Cause anybody could do that. I could have went right to Cherie and be like, Cherie, he just said this to me off camera. Like, you could take it for what it is, but just know, like, he's going to be willing to do that. So if we need to do that to him, we should probably think about it. I literally walked in and said, I will not do it to him. I will not do it to her. So I know it's coming to me. It is what it is. And so like, I knew my game was like on its way to an end. I was like, they're going to clip me at some point. And I could feel like, I felt Kyle too. I was like, Kyle's not talking to me the same way he was
yesterday. Yeah. I could even tell.
Like, he's not talking to me the same way. Right. And it's like, and I was feeling that with certain people, like Stephanie would look at me with this, like I'm on to you and I know. And I don't even think she realized like, that's how she would talk to me. And I'd be like, I don't, like, what's the point of having a combo with you? I'm like, you know that something's off with me. And I'm sitting here trying to get close to you because Cherie told me Stephanie was coming after me. Didn't trust me. So I'm like, okay, my line of thinking is, okay, that's fine. She's coming after me. Let me get close to her. Let me try to break down the wall. Let me try to get, like, I need a couple of days. It's going to take me time. And that, how, and in the castle, it's really difficult the way that the show was filmed and stuff. And so, but she would talk to me with like her nose up and like kind of look at me like she didn't buy anything I was saying. I was like, so I could feel that from her. And it wasn't like that early. She was getting that read on me throughout. I think something clicked because I was losing myself. And she had told me, she had shared this with me. She was like, you remind me so much of my brother. And you remind, like, I can see you were going through it, not the same side that I was, on a side of someone like my brother having to keep secrets. So like, that's what kind of gave it away. And I was like, I love her to death too. Like after the show, like she's somebody that I don't talk to Stephanie. She's from kind of where I'm from, but like if she's ever in the area, like she's somebody that I would like go to try to see. Cause she's just incredible. I just love her. So, but yeah, that was my, that's my exclusive. I kind of felt a lot of stuff happening and nobody really saw some of that behind the scenes stuff where I was like, I know they're coming for me. Like, I'm not going after them and I know they're going to come for me. So.
Yeah. And it's, you're right. It's interesting how they film because like, it's more contrived than Big Brother. You can't just pull someone in a room. Like they notice how many people are talking together and they split you up. Right. So it's like, it's a little different than just like,
yeah, we don't have free run. Yeah, we don't have free run, which is kind of the allure of it. They want to make it seem like that's the allure. But quite frankly, like strategically, it really hurts. Like, it's hard to have combos.
Yeah.
Genuinely, it's hard to have conversations. And I want to say they do it on purpose because that causes what you see, which honestly, that show is captivating. I am obsessed. I cannot wait to watch season two.
Me too. I'm so excited. Well, thank you, Cody, so much for joining. Like I said, you are so open. I love it. For the listeners, please like, subscribe, give me a 5-star review if you like my interviews. I'll be back with exit interviews, I think. Are we getting exit? Yeah, they send the question. We have to send the questions for Big Brother this week.
Are we at jury now?
We're at jury, I guess. Yeah.
Cam, wait, so this is jury. Cam's going to get the jury. For some reason, my math isn't mathing.
Oh, wait, is because it? Like,
I thought when Cam came back, two people had to be evicted. Oh, wait, no, because Jared went and then Mimi was evicted. So that would be the two people. I don't know. I have to look at the cast to see.
Now you're making me second guess, but I do believe it's jury. So it probably is one of the scenarios where we have to send questions and they'll send it back. But yes, okay. I'll be back for Friday with that and then Sunday for a weekly breakdown. So stay tuned and thanks again, Cody.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Sharon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.